Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. So, let's see. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, first and foremost. It's Cyber Monday, so Jared Nielsen, our chairman of the board, is just... Eric, I think he's done. He's just all over Cyber Monday stuff. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day. We have Paula Bovin with us, News and Notes, coming up at about 10:30-ish. And then Peter King will be with us, the Monday morning quarterback from SI.com and NBC, none better than Peter King. So that is all coming up on today's show. ASU was just dreadful. Gosh, they were bad. And the uniforms were worse. And there's just a lot to get into that. The Cardinals yesterday was like, look, this is what we've seen all season long. A year ago, they made plays. This year, they don't. A year ago, Calais Campbell does not jump off sides on a fourth down. I mean, there's just things about the Cardinals. I thought yesterday that Patrick Peterson got picked on a little bit. I was driving around. I was being a club basketball dad in the morning, TiVoing the game because that's how you do it in this world nowadays. So I was driving back, and I heard Wolfley and Pash, and man, Dave was just killing the Cardinals, which is fine. He was accurate in everything that he was saying. You know what? Why they're throwing at Patrick Peterson a lot, and the punting by Drew Butler just crushing him yesterday, and I appreciate that. We need more honesty in our industry for sure. We can't just all be on payrolls and sing kumbaya and say everything is great. You know, there's just too much of that nonsense that's going on. I don't think you fans are going to sit there and tolerate that sort of nonsense. You know, yesterday was not good. But here's the thing. Because it's the NFL, they're not out of it yet. Of course they're not. They're not mathematically out of it because Seattle lost to Tampa Bay. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that they are in it. But, you know, that's the facts are. Facts are this. I'm to the point where Jason LaConfora, who I respect a great deal, great insight, he wrote last night that the Cardinals should tank. And I'm of that opinion as well. We have said that if it gets to a point in the season where it's not going to be playoffs, you only have so much tread on the tire of running backs. And I know that there's going to be this, we would never pull David Johnson back. Why wouldn't you? It would be my question. You're going to get to that point in the season. I don't know if it's this week against the Redskins. I don't know that. But if you're going to reserve some tread on the tire and preserve him long-term, why would you give him heavy workloads on a season where you're going nowhere? Why would you not want to get a better draft pick this year? Very, very fair question to ask. Of course, you're going to get the football side. Oh, well, we would never do such a thing. Well, come on, guys. Are you hearing yourselves? You need wide receiving help. Okay. J.J. Nelson has great speed, cannot hang on to the football. John Brown had a concussion this year. It's been a lost season for him, has been hurt. Great kid. Michael Floyd, we've been talking about Michael Floyd. I've been reading the nonsense about Michael Floyd. This is the week where he's figured it out. Yeah, he's put up big numbers here. He doesn't do it consistently. Okay, so if Larry retires, we had to bring that Kurt Warner comment back, Eric, from 2 weeks ago, or last week, was it? When Kurt said he's of the opinion, it was last week, that Larry is going to hang it up. We have to bring that back because here's the thing with the Cardinals. It's either if David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald have a big game, they have a shot at winning. If one of those two does not have a big game, they really have no shot at winning unless it's David Johnson who, yeah, you can rumble for all the yards you want against the 49ers. I know it's 16 games on your schedule, but I'm just not of the opinion that I want to see him run into the ground, especially in a season like this. So.
And I think it's a little short-sighted and foolish for people to think, oh, yeah, the Cardinals aren't out of it. I mean, they just have to win out. Okay, let's go through the Cardinals' wins this season, and let me know if you see them beating any good teams down the stretch.
Because
of right now, they came close against the Patriots. They came close against Seattle.
Yeah.
But their best win right now is probably over Tampa Bay. And again, they still have some tough games left. Well, Redskins, Saints, at the Seahawks.
But all those games.
At the Rams.
All those games, okay. And you're right about this. You're right. There's no way that they should be involved in this. But all you have to do is win your division. And Seattle is a very good team. But yesterday, Seattle lost. Okay? Facts are facts. Seattle, the Seattle-New England game. Every week that Seattle plays, Seattle has Carolina this week at home. Carolina is not a bad team. That was a great game yesterday. It was great games yesterday.
It was a great game.
It was a great
game. And last night's game was a great game.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs and Broncos, it was fun to watch, right? But until they're mathematically eliminated, we're going to get the line from the team of we have a lot to play for still this year. And I am sitting here today saying that let's start the conversation about tanking. You may not like that conversation, but it's just a fact. And as if you're Steve Keim and you're Bruce Arians and you're looking at the team, yeah, Carson hung in there yesterday with a makeshift offensive line, okay? I didn't think DJ Humphreys played all that badly. Mike Iupati, it feels like, has not really been as good as the season has progressed. To say it's a leaky offensive line would be underselling what's going on there. It's a position of need. But here's the big overriding question. You've got to look at your quarterback situation at some point. I hate to be repetitive. And it's not all on Carson Palmer this season. But I am now not talking about 2016. I am looking at, is the best chance to grab a quarterback in free agent as a draft pick in 2017? Is the quarterback class in 2018 going to be better than the one at 2017? Yesterday, Matt Barkley had 11 drop balls by Bears receivers. And he didn't play that badly for a bad Bears team. I'm not saying they should have kept Matt Barkley, but if that's the way you want to go, Logan Thomas, where's Logan Thomas today? Has Logan Thomas surfaced, Eric? Did I miss it? Has he shown up on anybody's radar? So if Steve Keim is sitting here saying, well, you know, the quarterbacks in the first round this year, there's going to be three or four of them that are really good. We like this kid who's going to be there in the second or third round. This has nothing to do with Carson. This has everything to do with, are you going to be there with Carson next season? And has he slowed down some this year? And the answer clearly is, yes, he has. And if Larry is not back next year, you have to start going through all of these scenarios now. Larry hasn't said anything to anybody, but I'm taking Kurt as a pretty good source of, I'm of the opinion that he is still going to retire at the end of the season. Quote unquote, last Monday, this show. So, you know, yesterday was just, it's the same old story. I don't know why the special teams are so bad. I really don't. I don't know why it is you cannot find people to return kickoffs. Andre Ellington just gets to the 15 and gets blown up unless a team decides to not kick to him, as Atlanta did yesterday. For some reason, Atlanta decided to kick it and kick it out of the end zone rather than just put it up there high and say, we don't think he's going to get to the 25, because most weeks he doesn't. And man, the Calais offside penalty was, that's a leader. That's a guy that you look at with his number and say, oh, it makes perfect sense for him to be here. But you've got to look at every last player on this roster top to bottom and say, okay, this is where we're going to go. There's some other things I want to get to. I'm supposed to vote on the Heisman here this week. I can wait until next week when everything is all said and done. So I want to get into that a little bit. It seems to me that Ohio State has the perfect setup on college football for the CFP. But man, ASU, what a train wreck. What a dumpster fire. And U of A, great win for Rich Rod. We'll get into that on the other side. And the Diamondbacks trade that took place late on Wednesday night. I like that deal. And much, much more as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmann. Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes, and then Peter King, all things around the National Football League. I'm sitting here today on the let's just go national on college first. I'll get over to the ASU thing and the dumpster fire that is. So Texas hires Tom Herman as head coach. Ed Orgeron goes over to LSU. So now Houston is open. Baylor has not been filled as of yet. You have potentially something happening at Notre Dame, potentially. And we talked about that last week. There was some stuff that had been swirling around. Why Oregon is waiting till the middle of the week to inform Chip Kelly of what's going on is beyond me. Some of these schools and guys in leadership positions, either you know or you don't know. This is more of, you're fired, let's just figure it out how we're going to spin this over the next 48 hours. That makes no sense to me. Do you have to get search firms lined up? Oregon lost to Oregon State. Really not that hard to figure out. It hasn't worked out for Mark Helfrich. Really not that hard.
Which is insane, thinking that team was in the playoff 2 years ago, and they won double-digit games last year. It's just, it's stunning to me. Like, these coaches go from the penthouse to the outhouse in 365 days.
Yeah, but you know what? Coaches also turn on players in a moment's notice, Eric. I mean, it's a two-way street. I myself would be surprised if Mike Leach is still at Washington State. Why would Mike Leach stay there? He's done everything possible in Pullman.
I think you're right. He has sort of plateaued the program.
He's done everything.
He's gotten it to as far as they can go, I think.
Okay. So the Ohio State-Michigan game, yeah, a bad officiating happens, right? Ohio State was penalized twice in the game. Michigan was penalized seven times in the game. Michigan sacked JT Barrett seven times in the game. But Ohio State was called for how many holding calls? And their quarterback was sacked seven times? Is that just me, or does that seem kind of weird? I think the weekend was terrific for the Fiesta Bowl. The Fiesta Bowl could very well have Ohio State against Washington. If Washington beats Colorado, okay, Washington beats Colorado, and Penn State loses to Wisconsin, there's still a way actually for Michigan to get back into this. But I think the Fiesta Bowl is a winner. Clemson has Virginia Tech this weekend. There's no reason to believe that Clemson is going to lose to Virginia Tech. But if Virginia Tech beats Clemson, all right, if that happens this weekend, then all hell's going to break loose if Colorado beats Washington. I think Colorado could beat Washington. I really do. And we'll have all week to talk about that. We'll have the CFP tomorrow night. But I think the Fiesta Bowl is sitting there as a winner right now. Washington, Ohio State to me. And you can't tell me the CFP doesn't think about travel. You're going to send Washington all the way cross country down to Atlanta when you could have Clemson and Alabama and Deshaun Watson against Alabama, which now that's somebody that can test Alabama's defense in the semifinal. Ohio State fans will travel anywhere. Washington, are you kidding me? For them to be in the Final Four? So I am rooting for Washington to beat Colorado this weekend. I am. I'm not so sure about Clemson. I just think Clemson would be a better game against Alabama. So we have that to get into. Paula Bovin in about 5 minutes, but I'm going to get to ASU here first. Whew. So congratulations to Rich Rodriguez. He kept his team focused, kept his team together. Obviously, Todd Graham did not. So we have some video from the game, and the game itself was just nothing more than U of A running right, running left, and U of A doing this and a lot of this throughout the night. I put it up on Twitter yesterday, and I had some people that thought, A, I was rubbing it in, and B, that they're like, no way is that true. The Wildcats in the first half, now this was in the first half, in the second half of the game, Arizona Wildcats did not pass the ball in the second half against ASU, and they still scored 28 points without throwing one pass. How pathetic is that? That's pathetic, okay? And we talked about this all season long. We talked about this last year after the bowl game. Got to get your defense figured out. We were told by the coach, defense is figured out. We've got to figure it out. We're a Sun Devil. We're this. Got it. Understood. It doesn't lie. That video doesn't lie. You got punished. You got punked. It was an embarrassment. One of the worst losses, I think, in recent ASU history. But let's go over to a further step on this. Todd's not going to get fired. We've told you that. $13 million, almost $14 million. That's not happening. Okay, so forget about that. Revisionist history should be who agreed to the extensions and that amount of buyout. That's more of a buyout than most any coach that's out there. It's crazy, right? So there's that. Then there's their decision which every week on their social media, they want to tell us what it is they're wearing. And I just wish, guys, you would stop. There's people that just push you to that point. Let's hear from Todd Graham first on the game. So here's Todd Graham. This was after the game in Tucson. This was on Friday night after they got destroyed by U of A.
That was embarrassing. And no excuses, but that was very, very difficult to watch. So let our university down, let our program down, and that was very, very difficult. Just absolutely didn't show up at all defensively and just gave up one big play after another. The seniors tonight, you know, let them down, have them go out like this was very, very disheartening.
Okay. Steps up, answers, says what needs to be said, and moves on. Fine. Many of you were more upset. I'll just use the term pissed off a minute or two into the game. I was not happy a few minutes into the game. I decided to, it was a nice night. It was a holiday weekend. Jared was down at the game. I was going to do some notes around the game. So there's no reason for me to go to Tucson. There's none. No reason. And I'm not one of these Danny White, I'll never spend tax dollars in Tucson thing. It's just, I don't need to be there to see what's going on. I have better access. I have a better view. I have a better bathroom. I have a better parking spot than sitting in a hermetically sealed box with a bunch of middle-aged guys saying, this is terrible. I could see that in my own backyard. So I'm sitting there in the backyard, and first of all, the game on ESPN was running long. It was Texas Tech and Baylor. And there's like 12 minutes to go in the game, and they said, so we're going to put it over on ESPN News. I don't have ESPN News on the outlet, so I stream it. The stream is way behind, but I notice that people are starting to bitch about the uniform. And so I'm looking closer at the uniform, and it's, wow, this is really different, and why are people all upset about it? Well, the closer I looked, it's, I don't see any maroon, and I don't see any gold, and I guess if you went to ASU, I did not. You'd be really upset too. These uniforms, will they ever be worn again after what happened? I mean, look, ASU doesn't call it the Wildcat. They call it the Sparky. I got it. I understand. It's really cute and cuddly. I think the same thing with these uniforms. Give them to Apache Junction High School and don't use them again. Paula Bovin is next. News and notes, more on the game. And then Peter King joins us live via Skype in 15 minutes on if the Cardinals should tank or not. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
Always good to catch up with Paula Bovin. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. My friend, it is Cyber Monday, so if you're shopping for ASU and their football program, what is at the top of your list?
That's a good question. A quarterback they can feel confident in weekend workout. I just think that is, well, you know what? Can I change my mind?
Am sure. I allowed to say it's Cyber Monday. I mean, come on. Don't swipe the card, you know. You're fine.
Yeah. It won't just be maybe the quarterback situation, but certainly better players in the secondary. I'll see if there's a bargain out there somewhere where maybe there's a 2-for-1, even 3-for-1 would be great.
2-for-1, 3-for-1. Yeah. All right. So you're looking at going over to Winco or something.
Yes.
365 days or 363 days from now, Todd Graham is still the head coach or not? Because here's the thing. Keeping Todd, because it's all about 2017, which I've heard that line for a long time. Oh, it's not going to be this year. It's going to be next year and so on and so forth. Okay, so does he have to beat U of A and does he have to win 6 games, 7 games? Do they have to go to El Paso? Do they have to go to, you know, which bowl game is it that they're looking at and saying, you know, he's got to make it to this bowl game. If he makes it to this bowl game, then it's considered a successful season. I guess what I'm getting at, Paula, is now that Todd is supposedly going to stay here, what constitutes him being able to save his job next year?
You know, this sounds just wishy-washy, but it's hard to put real specific parameters on it. Brad, obviously they have to have a winning record. I think they probably have to beat U of A. And as far as the bowl game, I think a lot of that sort of hinges on of how they're playing. I mean, are they getting better during the course of the season? Are the younger players developing? Is the defense a far cry from what it has been the last 2 years? I mean, I think those issues are as important as whether you're finishing with 8 victories or 9 victories or 7 victories. Okay. So I think there's a lot to answer in that question.
Well, because here's the thing. It's real simple to say this was supposed to be the year of transition, but I guess I look at it and say they're not any better. In fact, they're worse today. Their season's over now, but they're worse today defensively than they were at the bowl game. And Todd said, we have a better staff. He said it in February. We have a better staff than we had last year. When everybody left, it was we had a better staff. He said that. The quote is there. Well, no, you didn't improve. In fact, you got worse. And on February 5th, we're going to hear all about this, the greatest class. We couldn't believe he was there and all these stars and all that stuff. And all I know is last year it was Chase Field and the year before it was El Paso. So these are the bowl games that they're going to. And somebody's got to lay it down as to, okay, this is what we need to see. We need to see 8 wins and a win over U of A. We're not going to tolerate 6-5. We're just not.
Yeah, and here's the other thing I want Todd Graham to address. You know, the big sort of mystery has been how much of this awful defense is Patterson's fault? How much is it Todd Graham really, because he still makes a lot of decisions regarding the defense? Or how much is it that they've just made really bad recruiting decisions? That's what I want to know, because I think that Patterson/Graham mystery is pretty interesting. Because I think in most cases, people would find that after these horrible kind of defensive outings, that your defensive coordinator would be let go, and that would be Patterson. But Graham has been very loyal to him. They've obviously been friends a long time. I think they were college roommates. They fight like brothers, but they're close, blah, 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 blah. But at some point, you either sever the ties if this relationship is causing this defense to be bad, or you as a head coach take ownership and say, I was meddling too much. I'm putting it in his hands now. Or the final thing, and this is probably part of the equation either way, is just admit you just really stunk when you were recruiting secondary players.
Okay, but
so that's what I want to hear.
Well, and I get that, but him stepping up to the podium and saying that, I mean, with Todd, there's a lot of talk, okay?
Yes,
so
there is.
So there's just a lot of talk. And this is the best team ever and all that stuff from last year. People have not forgotten that. And look, I don't think that firing him today is the right way to go because the payout on it, I just don't think they can do it financially. But the Patterson thing that you bring up is interesting because I think what happens is Ray closes the door. Ray tells him, you're no longer doing defense. We're firing Patterson. And is Todd going to say, well, no, you know, that's not what I don't want to work here in that environment. You know what I'm saying on this one, Paula?
Where if
Ray is going to walk in and say, I am demanding change. You've done it your way. I'm doing it mine. There's got to be a showdown at some point. Or is Todd going to say, yeah, you're right? Or is Todd the type of coach that says, I can see the handwriting on the wall. It's better for me to try to get out of here, but I've got $13 million coming my way, so I got to stick it out.
Right.
So
that's a great question. I don't know if I could see Todd Graham stepping away from this situation for the sake of, you know, his defensive coordinator and his friend and everything else. I mean, I think when I've talked to him, he feels like there is a job to be finished here. I don't think he wants this to end on another sour note, you know, I mean, especially after what happened at Pitt. At least you're going to try to give it your all and commit to what you committed to and kind of go from there. So, he would be under so much crap if he, I think, stood up, you know, handled it that way. I'm quitting if you're not keeping my defensive coordinator based on what's happened in his past. I just don't think he'd go there.
Should the Cardinals start tanking?
No.
Okay.
Did you say should they start tanking?
Yeah, should they start? Do you take David Johnson and dial him down from 30 and 25 carries to 15 and 20 and say we got to keep tread on the tire? No.
No, I don't think they're there yet. Aren't they sort of mathematically still in it if they win all their games?
Yeah,
or something?
Mathematically they're there. I get it. But at some point, at some point, are you better off looking at 17 in position of draft rather than saying, well, we're still mathematically alive because Seattle lost yesterday to Tampa Bay? Yeah, Seattle would have to fall on their sword, and the Cardinals would have to win out. I get it. It's still there. But
right.
I'm not quite there yet either, but I think that discussion has to be going on upstairs. I just do. This whole idea of, well, we're going to stick with it to the end. No, come on. Let's be real here.
Clearly, at some point, they're going to start making decisions based on evaluating their players versus, you know, having to get a win. And later in the season, though, I think that happens. But there's just such a big question mark with this team. It's really interesting to me how much people have been ripping on Carson Palmer when it has been, at least in my mind, so much about him not getting the support from offensive linemen and from his receivers. And people have failed him, I think, more than Carson Palmer has failed the team. I think those kind of decisions need to be made, you know, and that means evaluating Michael Floyd a little more and evaluating John Brown and all those things versus, you know, tanking or worrying about other things like that.
Okay, I got about 20 seconds left in the segment. Did you like what ASU was wearing the other night, or should they just donate those things to Apache Junction High School next year?
You know, it doesn't matter to me anymore. It is such something that was not of my generation. I understand it's important. If they believe this helps recruiting and there is value to it, then I have no problem with it, because I think right now that is their biggest issue. So, yeah. Doesn't bother me one way or the other.
Yeah, they can sell those and make some money off them. I get it. stay well. I'll be in touch with you this week, so just expect that. And good talking to you. See ya.
Good talking to you, Brad. Bye.
Paula Bovin. She joins us every week. Peter King via Skype is next. I am Brad Sussmat. And now Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback, joins us. And it really is Monday with Peter following just a terrific Sunday of football. Peter joins us. We can call the segment Cash Cab today, which I think is really cool. Peter's in a what city are you in this cab, Peter?
No, I'm in New York, and I have an appointment at 1:15, and I just thought that if I did your show, I usually take the subway to my appointment, but there's no way I would have been able to do this and then get there. And I apologize for a little bit of the crankiness of the reception, but I just thought it might give you a little flavor of life in New York. It's a lovely day. It's about 50 degrees, a little windy, but people are just getting into the Christmas season. They're going to light the tree at Rockefeller Center tonight.
Yeah, well, we would love that. We want 10 degrees and snow and JFK is closed. That would be fun. It would be fun. all right, so Peter King with us from a cab in New York City. Is it time for the Cardinals? I'm not going to use the word tank, but is it time for the Cardinals to consider 2017 in all their decisions? I know Steve Keim will tell you we're always considering 2017, but let's be real here, Peter. After winning, after losing yesterday in Atlanta, but also the Seahawks losing to Tampa Bay, mathematically there's still a shot, but are you of the opinion it's time for them to start looking at 2017?
Well, I don't really know what that means. A lot of times when somebody says, hey, let's look at next year, like I could see for the New York Jets, look at next year because I want to see Bryce Petty.
Yeah.
If I'm the Chicago Bears, I want to see Matt Barkley. And again, I'm not saying that Bryce Petty or Matt Barkley is going to be a franchise quarterback, but you're pretty sure next year that your quarterback in New York isn't going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you've got a good idea that your quarterback in Chicago isn't going to be Jay Cutler. So let's move on. But in Arizona, I think the interesting thing is right now, you don't have your quarterback of the future, you know, on the roster. So I don't think it does much good really to say, let's give Drew Stanton five starts. I mean, I think you're better off winning as many games as you can, especially while you're still in it, and knowing that, hey, look, it's incredibly unlikely. But all I can say is that was a frightening game that the Seattle Seahawks played yesterday. So I would want to play at least the next couple of games full speed ahead, like you never can tell what might happen.
And I guess I'm pointing more towards David Johnson, who's had a heavy, heavy workload this year. And,
right.
you know this about running backs. There's only so much tread on the tire. So let's dial that back. And instead of going from 30 touches a game, let's get him down to 15 to 20 and get Andre Ellington, who's gotten the snot beat out of him this season and the last couple seasons.
Well, I would say that maybe in the last four games, yes.
Yeah.
But in the next 2 weeks, I think I think you got to play the next 2 weeks like the games, have real playoff significance. Because, as I say, I don't know how much you saw the Seattle game yesterday, but that offensive line, I mean, Russell Wilson got beaten to the point where, I was telling somebody last night, we were talking about, okay, what are you writing? And before the incredible Sunday night game,
yeah,
I kept saying that I got to write something on the Seattle offensive line. They started some left tackle named Fant, F-A-N-T, who I never heard of before yesterday. And, at some point, the Seahawks have got to think about making sure that Russell Wilson doesn't turn into a 2016 version of the 2004 David Carr.
Right now, as you're bumping around this cab in New York City with Peter King via Skype, is it Dallas and Oakland that you're looking at on Super, which would be a terrific Super Bowl, or as it's coming down the stretch, it's no, Brad, you're missing this team over here. Obviously, the Patriots are going to be part of the discussion, but how do you see it playing out right now, Peter?
I mean, I think it's Dallas, and then I think there are four or five teams in the AFC. I mean, I think Pittsburgh is going to be a factor. I think, obviously, New England's going to be a factor. I mean, don't look now. Miami's won six in a row.
Yeah.
And not that I think they're going to be there at the end winning two or three road games to get to the Super Bowl. But the one thing I just don't know right now, Brad, is who's the best team in the West? And I don't mean the NFC West. I mean the AFC West. And going into yesterday, I'm thinking, it's entirely possible that the three best teams in the AFC are in the exact same division, which is hard to believe. But I'll tell you this. I talked to two AFC West coaches yesterday, Andy Reid and Jack Del Rio. And unprompted, both of them talked about what an incredible division this is. And how Andy Reid said, I asked him, man, you were just in a great game. And he said, did you see the great games in our division today? Did you see San Diego beat Houston?
Yep.
And obviously, did you see the Oakland-Carolina game, which is incredible? So I think there's a lot of respect going a lot of different ways right now for the depth of the AFC West. And I think we'd all be surprised if one AFC West team at least wasn't in the AFC championship game.
Good stuff as always, Peter. Appreciate your time and safe travels there bumping around New York City. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
It's Peter King via Skype in a cab in New York City, which is how I like it. It's kind of like when we had Jake Plummer on here when he'd wear his helmet. You just don't know who's going to show up, and probably time to get Jake back on. You good on that?
We call that unscripted. That's what we call that.
We don't script this show. We just don't. I hate it. I'll say this. You say that. Let's have a show meeting an hour before, and you say this, and I'll say that. And we'll say, no, it's not real.
He said to me last night when I text Peter, I can do that time, but I may be in an interesting situation.
Ha!
Interesting position. And so, of course, he's joined us when he's just stepped out of the shower. I know you can't see me right now, but that's okay. You can hear me.
Yeah.
I'm like the voice of from above.
Voice from God.
Not even close to that, but you never know where these guys are going to pop up. But you know what, technology is a neat thing.
No, it's cool. It's I love that. I'd take that any day over just the other stuff. All right, so we're going to get into some other leftovers I want to get to before the show. This is a great week on the college basketball scene. I'm going to circle back on the Cardinals much more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat.